This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Help me welcome to the program Ken Bernstein, a nationally recognized teacher of excellence. He is a graduate of the Sorensen Institute's Political Leaders Program, class of 2008. Congratulations, Ken. And he also blogs, a nationally recognized blogger under the name Teacher Ken. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very good. Can we take a moment here at the top and just the graduation for the Sorensen Institute's Political Leaders Program was just about a week ago, and wanted to give you an opportunity if you want to share any thoughts about your experience. It was a 10-month program. Only about 35 Virginians participate each year. It's very, very competitive to get into this program. And again, congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. Reaction, it was a very interesting experience. I got to know a lot more about the Commonwealth than I did. I thought I knew. I got to see parts of the Commonwealth I had really not seen, particularly Southside, Norfolk. And I got to know people from all areas of the Commonwealth, not just my classmates, but the people kind enough to take their time to try to explain things to us, whether it was people who were involved in the poultry business in the Valley or trying to rejuvenate Southside Virginia one way or the other. And people across the political spectrum. And it gets to be very interesting when you wind up forming close friendships with people that you know you would never vote for, but at the same time you respect them because they stand for something and they're willing to work for it, and like you, they're trying to do it in a way that you find common ground where you can for the benefit of the people of the Commonwealth.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein. Ken, let's talk about education, because I know that is truly your passion. It is your career to which you have devoted your energies and your talents. I'd like to hear your thoughts about, as you look at the new Obama administration, which is just coming together, and we get little snippets of it every day as pieces come together here. What about education? What about public education specifically? Do you see, you know, good and bad coming down the pipe from the Obama administration?
All right, let's back up. People who are very active in education, Obama was far from being their first choice. Their number one first choice probably would have been John Edwards because of his understanding of the relationship between poverty and school. Their second choice would have been Chris Dodd, who's been on the Senate Education Committee for quite some time. The unions tended to be very supportive of Hillary Clinton because the AFT is based in New York and she's been very supportive of them. Although Obama has been on the Senate Education Committee, he had never taken a particular lead role on much of anything. He does have some good ideas. For example, he understands the problem of what's called summer learning loss, where middle-class kids keep learning during the summer and lower-class kids lose during the summer, and the need to address that. And that was one of the strong points in the early version of his education proposals. Where he's going to go, there are some real question marks right now. There are a number of people in education who are not happy with his choice with Arne Duncan.
Secretary of Education.
The incoming Secretary of Education, who also made some comments in the press conference today that I choose not to get into because I don't want you to get in trouble with the FCC with what I'd be likely to say.
Well, paraphrase for us. What is the nut of the problem?
Way. I don't think he grasps totally the reality of education. He is seeing things through a paradigm which, quite frankly, has not necessarily proven to be successful in Chicago for all the credit they tend to give him. And, in fact, Chicago is paying out millions in legal fees for being in violation of certain federal and court requirements. But that would take too long. I don't want to get down into the weeds on that.
Yeah.
There is a split in how some people think we need to address the needs of education. Most people will tell you there are a lot of things wrong with our public schools, but since they don't agree on what the purpose should be, they don't agree on what to do. There has been a concerted effort by people who style themselves as reformers to do two things. One, push one of whom they viewed as their own into Secretary of Education, and two, to bash somebody they viewed as a threat. That person is the very distinguished professor of education out at Stanford, Linda Darling Hammond, who has been controlling the policy side of the transition. There's probably nobody more qualified in the country to do it. Darling Hammond is a reformer, but the people associated with Teach for America got very upset with her because she has been critical of Teach for America, and she's done so based on a detailed study of the effects of Teach for America teachers versus fully credentialed teachers, and also raised questions about the Teach for America people. Only about half of them stay beyond the second year, and that creates a great deal of disruption. Since one of the people they liked to push, which would have been a disaster, is Michelle Rhee. Michelle Rhee herself will acknowledge that as a Teach for America person in her first year, she was a disaster. So Duncan is probably the least worst of the people that were acceptable to that side, the self-styled reformers who believe in what they call high standards and punitive sanctions, which have not necessarily proven to be successful. Unlike somebody like Joel Klein or Michelle Rhee or people of that ilk, Duncan has had at least semi-decent relationships with union people. He is a longtime associate of Obama. He had the blessing of the head of one of the two teachers' unions, Randy Weingarten, who may or may not be jockeying for a position in the administration. She heads the AFT, which is largely centered in New York.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein, a nationally recognized political blogger. He blogs as Teacher Ken, and he is a public school teacher of excellence. Ken, what is it that you, what's the worst you'd expect from Obama vis-a-vis public education, and what's the best that you think we can expect? Number two, and number three, what's going to happen to No Child Left Behind?
Okay, let's take the third first. Let's clarify. No Child Left Behind is the label placed on the current incarnation of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. Originally goes back to Johnson and the Great Society, is the primary source of funding for non-special ed programs, kindergarten through grade 12. It has to be reauthorized every so many years. It has, in fact, not been reauthorized. So what has happened is the clock has continued to run on the punitive sanctions while the money has been frozen at what was an insufficient level even before you get to the question of inflation. There will be a reauthorization of something that's still up in the air. The two committee chairmen, Ted Kennedy and George Miller, are committed to doing something. I know that George Miller is open to suggestions of making major changes, and I think both of them would, if you talk to them privately, acknowledge they got taken for a bit of a ride by Bush because they thought there'd be more money committed. What it will look like, I do not know. Obama is on record that he does not think high-stakes testing should be the only measure, and he's very concerned about the fact of what it represents for the narrowing of the curriculum.
Would you agree with that as a school teacher?
Absolutely, I would agree with that. That is a major, major problem. Not everything in life consists of reading and math, and while you do need to work on those schools, the way we're going about it, in fact, has not necessarily been productive. Now, what it will mean in terms of policy, Duncan is somebody who is a friend of Obama's. He has guided him some in education, but the fact that he is a cabinet secretary does not mean that he will necessarily be making education. I think Obama is making it very clear he wants people as cabinet secretaries who are credible, who will work with him, and when he makes up his mind what he wants to do, he'll listen to what they have to say, will go out and fight like hell for it. That is where I think some people are holding a little bit of hope about Duncan, despite some questions about his past track record. There's an effort that includes quite a few people on the progressive side of education called the broader, bolder approach to education, which is much more wide-ranging and recognizes the limitations of No Child Left Behind. Duncan was an early signer of that particular document, along with Linda Darling Hammond, along with some heroes of the people like me who are progressive educators like Pedro Noguera and Deborah Meyer. By the way, I'm a signatory to that, but my name is not that important. I signed later. That's two of your three questions. What was your second question?
What's the best that we might be able to expect under a new, if I hear you right, there would be a new Education Act under Obama, and what's the best we could expect?
There will be some reauthorization, but that's not going to be where it's going to come because you can't put a lot of money in right now because you're strapped. The best that you can hope in the short term is the stimulus package will include a large amount of money to rebuild and possibly revitalize school buildings, which is an issue. In 2001 or 2002, the American Institute of Architects said that the deferred maintenance necessary just to bring America's public school buildings up to code was over $100 billion.
Jeez.
It's awful hard to teach if you've got rats running across the floor, toilets backed up, roofs that leak, mold on the walls, and this is a lot more common than people realize, particularly in inner-city schools.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein. He blogs nationally, a nationally recognized political blogger under the name Teacher Ken. He is a public school teacher and a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership. Ken, I'm curious, when you get up, you're somebody who is literally on the front lines in the school system in America. When you look and you read the news about the politics of education in America, what would you like to see most happen that may or may not happen under an Obama administration?
Well, it's going to happen, and it will have very little to do with Obama because George Miller has committed to it, okay? I happen to be friends with a congresswoman from New York who sits on the House Education Committee who has proposed that there be an advisory panel of teachers helping advise in terms of education policy. Now, the form of that still needs to be explored. One of the great problems has been the voice of educators have not necessarily been part of the problem. There is a precedent for this. When Richard Riley was Secretary of Education, former governor of South Carolina under Bill Clinton, he decided to have a principal in residence, and he brought in a guy who was a principal who every now and then, when some of the people would come up with these brilliant ideas, he said, guys, this is how it would actually really work in schools. You sure you want to go there? Part of what's been missing has been the voice of professional educators who are still in the classroom. You have had people who have been educators, but they've been so far removed from the reality of the classroom that they do not understand what's going to happen with the policies they're attempting to do. I expect to see some version of that happen. It could be politicized. They'll probably do it through the National Teacher of the Year program. They might do it through something of which I just became a part called the Teacher Leaders Network, which is a group of highly recognized teachers who are dedicated to trying to make changes. For example, we're not necessarily opposed to merit pay, just providing you're not just tying it to test scores, because that's unfair to teachers who teach subjects that are important to many children, may keep them in school, phys ed, music, art, but don't have tests.
Right.
So you have to approach it some other way.
Let me ask you this, Ken, just as a last question, we have a couple minutes left. Is the public school system in America so criticized, and you know all sorts of studies are done which show it's far from the best in the world? Is it fixable? Are the problems fixable?
I want to back up. Ignore international comparisons; they're badly flawed. At some point, I'll walk you through that. I can't do it in 1 or 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But there are lots of problems with that. Are there problems in schools? Yes. Are a lot of them being fixed already? There were a lot of efforts that were going on that were addressing a lot of the issues and addressing them constructively that have been cut short because of what we have done with No Child Left Behind. Do we know everything that will work? No. Do we need to try a lot of things? Yes. Do we have to be willing to take a certain amount of risk? That's where it gets risky because, you know, you only have the kids for so long. But we know enough different kinds of things that work that we could do a lot of things very differently than we're doing. If it were up to me, I'd totally reinvent schools and start over. It's not up to me. We don't have the reality of doing that. In the short term, we're probably not going to do a heck of a lot of major changes. You will see moving away from the narrow measurements of whether schools are succeeding to somewhat broader measures, but it's not quite clear how that's going to be effectuated yet.
Ken Bernstein blogs nationally as Teacher Ken. He's a public school teacher, and we're always honored to have him on the program. Ken, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Coy.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.